First in family, what's going on? You know, it wouldn't be a Friday, and it wouldn't be a first in live if we didn't have some technical difficulties, right? You know, just wouldn't be how it is. So yeah, we had a little technical difficulty. We had a failure, if you will, to communicate. A little Cool Hand Luke reference with this mouse.
The mouse. I know you thought it was with me. It's not. It's with the mouse.
With this mouse and our computer.
With the brand new computer.
So again, we got some issues. Could be that my dongles aren't connected.
He just wanted to say dongle.
It didn't need a dongle before. It used the Bluetooth. But I'll tell you what saved us, guys. What saved us is the OG.
The cord.
You can take your Bluetooth and you can take your wireless and you can take your Bill Gates 5G chips in our arms and you can just get out of here with it. I want my peripherals to be corded. And that's it. And I'll die on that fucking hill.
Dude, it's something different every week too. It's not the same technical difficulty every week.
Give me a cable or give me death. I believe a great leader once said that.
Or something like that.
Well, I'm a leader. I said it. I've led the school line at patrol once, I think, in fifth grade. So I guess that's all the qualifications you need to be a leader these days. So.
Until you yelled at everybody and they fired you.
Yeah, I probably got fired. But anyway, we're here. We're live. We're having a good time. Looks like a couple of you guys are here with us. Trisha, what's going on? Trisha says, hey. Hey, how are you?
We're late too, so I imagine people were probably waiting on us and surprise, we're late.
Stephanie's here. Stephanie, we had a problem with a mouse in the house.
But now
we're here. Now we're here, and man, I had plans for today's live call. I had some good plans. I was going to talk about some good things. I was going to unveil a new tool that I've been working on, a new feature for you guys, but you guys in the First In family, you had other ideas, and we are a family-first operation. And since you guys wanted to, at the last minute, throw 87 questions at me, that's what we're going to spend time doing today. We'll unveil new features at another time, and we'll talk about things that I think are important, I guess, maybe never. So, Coach Amy's here. My love muffins, countdown to smooching.
Yes.
Your faces is on. It is on. And I meant what I said. If you guys don't turn your tracker in,
coming to me.
She's gonna get mad at you. Amy's not gonna check it for next week and a half, and y'all send your hate mail to her, because I ain't gonna respond to it. I don't deal with that negativity in my life. Trisha said you guys are like a stand-up comedy routine. Life is a comedy of errors. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Mouse not working.
Now it's really not gonna work. He shook
now,
the crap out
to
of
be
me.
Fair. This mouse.
How old is that?
Oh my god! I mean, it's probably a solid decade since I bought a laptop mouse for a laptop. So I can't be too upset, but I'm gonna be upset. Anna's here. What's going on, evening friends? Ooh, whopping 45 degrees in Wisconsin with a low of 36. Can't wait for the sunshine at the reunion.
It was in the 90s today.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah, we actually had plans to go to the beach, and it was too hot to go to the beach, so we didn't go.
It was hot and still was the problem. There's no breeze.
So I sat here and worked all day. It's fun. Karen Haas said, I would kill for this weather. Daniel Messer says, hello. I got those out of order, but that's okay. You guys didn't even know that. Or maybe you did. I don't know. But anyway, the fam had questions. I'm going to do my best to give some answers. Up first, a little backdoor on this one. Got a little backdoor action on that one. Oh man, Anna says they were 89 last weekend. Oh. See, I can't take those swings. I can't.
Man. Listen, we wear cold weather jackets for like 2 weeks and then they get put away. That's it. I'm not taking them back out. I can't.
I was telling my buddy that when it's 70 on the beach, I want a jacket because the breeze, man. So I can't handle that. Y'all cold people are crazy.
It's humid, windy, cold here.
Crazy. So up first, Stephanie, I'm glad you're here because I got some answers for you. Stephanie sets us up with ingredient labels. She wants to dive in on this a little bit. The good, the bad, the indifferent. I like that subject line. And to be honest with you, I tried to make it fit down here, but it wouldn't drag all the way over. So I tried. I like that one. Stephanie goes, I know reading the ingredients list is important because we want to know what our food is composed of.
Okay.
I keep hearing all sorts of that's bad for you and you should avoid anything that has os at the end of it. Do you really keep hearing that? Like, that's my first thing. Is this like you just walk outside and, hey, you should avoid an os? Like, that happens in your life? Because, man, that's wild. Because this never once happened to me. But, okay. Here, I think, is the actual issue. I have a friend that mentions. So, this is maybe just this one source. Not like you keep hearing it. Or you keep hearing it from one person. I have a friend that mentions cornstarch, dextrose, palm oil, and anything that says modified in front of it. Is bad, I suppose. I know members of the fam go for sugar-free or fat-free options, which sometimes means there has been something else added to replace flavor or consistency. So my question is this. We're getting to it. Are there things we should be without a doubt avoiding ingredient-wise, or is it still the go-to answer of everything in moderation? And the answer is it depends.
Surprise.
What does it depend on? Are you allergic to a substance? Will your throat close up and life will cease if you consume that ingredient? And if the answer is yes, without a doubt, I'm going to suggest you should avoid it. Even if you've got an EpiPen in hand and you just think that peanut butter sounds so good and you take a bite and I'm going to say no. I'm going to avoid that without a doubt. The next level of that is, does it make you feel bad? And if the answer is yes, you're an adult. You be the judge. I have worked with people that are extremely lactose intolerant, but they love ice cream and they don't mind farting all over their significant other. So they eat the ice cream. There's a member of the fam that we all know and love that is gluten sensitive, and he still eats the gluten when he wants, and he pays the price with a 6-pound water swing. That is the next level of should you avoid it. Now, when it comes to calling out specific ingredients, if it doesn't fit one of those two above criteria, then I think what you have is someone who, one, might have a misunderstanding of how things work, or two, lacks a sufficient foundation and knowledge to know the words they're using. For instance, when someone says you should avoid anything that has an os at the end of it, you should run away very fast, because if they are that incredibly wrong, two, incredibly outspoken about things they don't know, and three, that brazen to act like an authority figure, who knows what else kind of trouble they're going to get you into. You know, I think it would be okay if you walked into that bank and said, give me all your money. They clearly don't understand how things work, because let me tell you what the suffix os means. It's a sugar. We got glucose, fructose, lactose, maltose,
dextrose,
galactose. We can go on and on and on. And every single os, not to mention every single other thing that you consume that is digestible, can be broken down into the big daddy, glucose, which is what your body runs on, which is what the old brain needs to survive. So avoiding anything that has an os, one, is silly and indicative of lacking any kind of foundational knowledge in anatomy and physiology and basic human chemistry, and two, is impossible.
Yeah.
Because even if you ate nothing with an os in it, your body would break everything down to form it because your brain needs it to survive. So we're gonna wanna consider our sources here. Does that mean that everything you eat should come from X, Y, or Z? No, of course not. It doesn't mean that. In fact, if you're following the parameters that your coach gives you, you can't eat all of your calories from palm oil because you'd be missing all sorts of other good things, right? So this is just fear-mongering, and it's just something that needs to end. People that have never in their lives picked up primary literature and read it and understood what they're talking about want to spread snippets and clickbait. And it leads to a lot of confusion that isn't necessary.
When we say primary literature, this is not the bodybuilding.com article you just read. This is not the Facebook blog that somebody posted about OSE dangers.
And it's a textbook.
It is a textbook based in scientific fact, knowledge, peer-reviewed and studied information with proven sources.
The hard sciences.
Yeah.
And the thing in front of it, hard science doesn't mean it's hard, but it is. And that's why people don't want to read a textbook. And that's why they can say stuff like, oh man, you should avoid anything with an OSE in it or anything modified in front of it. Genetically modified, as cool as it would be if it was literally somebody splicing genes in a lab, it's putting plants next to each other and they make a hardier plant. That's what most of your genetically modified organisms are, and that's so we can use less pesticides and be able to have them. That's so we can have a hardier, you know, stock. That's so we can feed the world.
This is so the plague doesn't come and wipe out one crop of a plant and it kills everybody.
Because of the fear of GMOs, and I'm sure there's some other reasons that people keep this under wraps, but because of the fear of GMOs, we have world hunger. Because there's a crop, you can research this, called golden rice, that they've genetically modified, that they'd be able to pretty much grow it and feed the entire planet, but because there is a worldwide fear against GMOs, we don't have it. We're not able to feed the world with golden rice. So there's a lot of misinformation and fear-mongering out there. Now, do I care if you avoid everything GMO? Hell no, man, go ahead. You wanna be organic, grass-fed, GMO-free, pink Himalayan sea salt, no palm oil for me? High five right there. Whatever tickles your pickle.
Just make sure that you're not confusing modified with you think that something is science in a lab and they're injecting all sorts of weird chemicals in the genetically
modified. I wish they did that. That'd be awesome.
I mean, we're not dealing with like 60-pound tomatoes here, you know? Like,
I'd be first in line to eat that. I think that's fantastic. Sign me up.
There's just confusion between what genetically modified actually means when it comes to food.
So no, there is nothing short of anaphylaxis that you should without a doubt avoid.
Maybe GI issues if they're that bad and you don't like them.
The next level is, how do you feel? If it gives you the bubble guts and you don't like that, don't eat it. But no, there is no need to fear food. Food is neither good nor bad. It is all in the amounts you consume. And much like everything, the dose determines the poison. I'm not going to say that get every gram of carbohydrate from cornstarch. That sounds kind of gross.
Tough and gross.
Yeah, it sounds like it would kind of be nasty. I eat veggies at every meal. We can be adults. And part of being adults is we can realize that moderation is a thing. And we do want to vary our food sources. So, whomever this friend of yours is, I'll send them a link to a textbook. And when they're done reading it, and they have a grasp on what they want to speak on, we can have a conversation about it. But until then, I'm afraid, I don't think they've done their due diligence to speak on these matters. I'm not a researcher. I'm not a guru. I don't have a white lab coat on, and I don't have alphabet soup behind my name, but I've read a textbook once or twice. And I know enough to know that we don't have to fear words we can't pronounce. We need to get a background in chemistry so we understand what those words mean. And if we're not willing to do that, we don't need to fear chemicals. We need to fear knowledge. And if you're fearing knowledge, I'm sorry, you're not at a point where you can have an actual conversation. So that's my take on that. When you say that we should read our ingredient labels because it's important, we need to know what our food is composed of, to me that means calories, protein, fat, and carbohydrate. For 99% of the cases. Anything outside of that, it's a known allergy or known sensitivity. Jillian just showed up and joined us. What is going on, Jillian? We got a Facebook user in the house. I don't know whom this is. If you click the link, or if not, just write your name. I know it gets kind of annoying writing your name, but until we figure out you're the only Facebook user, just write it for me so I know who it is. But hi, how are you? Annette is here late but made it. We were late too. Yeah. Don't worry about it. And Stephanie says she's got it. She says, got it. Thank you.
Perfect.
Oh man, I don't know who Facebook user is, but they're my favorite. The white coat and alphabet soup is pretty worthless when that person does not walk the walk. And yeah, I'll tell you this.
This is kind of a hot button.
I'm pretty particular about this. And the way I look at this and the reason walking the walk is so important to me is I kind of look at it like this way. And you could look at a physician. Do you want advice from a physician on, hey, you know smoking's bad for your heart, as they walk out and go put nails in the coffin? I tell everybody it's like this. It's like getting a tattoo. I don't want to go in and get knuckle tattoos or a neck piece from somebody that doesn't have tattoos. And they could be a phenomenal artist. They could be fantastic tattooer. But the point is, without having experienced it themselves, without having walked that walk, walked into a restaurant and been judged for their neck piece, tried to get a job with the job breakers on their knuckles, they can't really convey properly what that means to you when you go to do it. And so I'm not going to get a tattoo from a tattooless tattoo artist. I'm probably not going to take fitness advice or nutrition advice from somebody who hasn't achieved what I'm trying to achieve. And it doesn't mean that you can't learn something from anybody. But sometimes what you learn isn't what they're saying, it's what they're not doing with what they're saying. It's like a do as I say, not as I do thing. I'm not a fan of that. That doesn't resonate with me. I've lost friendships over that. I've lost people we've worked with over that. And I'll continue to do it, because if you're going to talk about it, in my opinion, you need to be about it. And I think that's a big part of it. Lots of people like to slang things that they're not doing themselves. And just not how it rolls. When I tell you guys I eat dino nuggets and mac and cheese out of a box, I do it. When I say I drink Diet Cherry Zero, I'm right here with it.
That Diet Cherry Zero Dr. Pepper is the jam.
Here we go, Stephanie. Preach, sister. I can't even afford organic shit. Too expensive. Baller on a budget. Then don't make it hard on yourself than it has to be. Zero benefit. Man, Facebook users, y'all are killing me. Hey. Y'all are killing me. Click the link or write your name, please. I'm going to put that in the description from here on out. If you're not sure, you know, just click your link or let us know. But they don't know their Facebook user until we say it's Facebook
it's
user.
Us. And if you guys have already clicked the link and we tell you go click it, it expires at some point, so sorry.
It's Anna. It's Anna K.
That makes sense.
That does make sense with the white coat and alphabet suit.
Oh, yes.
Anna K does have a white coat, white coat. But she has a white coat and alphabet soup to back it up. So there we go. Yeska's here. What's up? Y'all are later than we are. I love it. Corey's here.
Who is Hallelujah? I've only ever seen Coach Tasha do that. So let's figure out who this is.
I guess it could be Anna. Anna's my Anna.
Yeah.
All Facebook users are Anna until proven otherwise. We'll have you guys duel it out.
Correct us.
Grayson, how was that list?
Nice.
How was that list? Being a believer, there we go. Nell said, sorry I'm late. I'm sneaking in to say hi between my parents.
Aww.
Nell, you have
patience.
Nothing.
Patience. By patience.
I guess I miss my family. But Nell, you have nothing to apologize for because of this profile picture. If you guys didn't see Nell change her profile picture, she is holding up a First Hand sticker. That's my people. Ah, here we go. It's Kathy. So okay. Kathleen goes by Kathy. Says she can't wait to get started, having her week zero in very soon. That's awesome. It was Anna Kay's Hallelujah.
Yes.
Awesome. Hallelujah. Tom, what's going on? And Nell, warm my heart. You're going to see that again. You're going to see that pop up again soon. I promise you.
Nell,
that.
I heard Jonathan screaming from across the house as he ran to show me your profile picture.
Just I was excited. So excited. I was very excited. Jessica said, just woke up for a little nap, placed my Chipotle dinner order in to pick up after my second workout after the day.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So Stephanie, I hope we didn't scare you off, because we're moving right on to your next question. Stephanie asks about scan and go.
Ooh. All right.
Scan, amp, go option. I got to fix this, guys. I copied and pasted. I copied and pasted right from her thing. And it gave me an ampersand. We're going to fix that. You're going to see the top of my head here for a second. Yeah, I can't find an ant sign. There we go. All right. I probably should have put that in preview mode. But there we go.
Sorry.
Scan and go option. Here we go. Oh, wait. Before we start in, hold on now. Steve says he's checking in. Coach Steve's checking in post-painting.
Nice.
Jillian dropped something here. Being in this group does not mean some sort of elite eating like organic, non-GMO, etc. Eat what you want, hit your numbers, your body is the machine, and it will do the work. Enjoy your favorite foods. I could not.
You just summed up that whole question.
I could not. Jillian, can you just come answer these questions next time? Because I'd probably have much less risk of a stroke if I just let your positivity
yelling.
Flow through me.
I'm watching him yell, and it's pinging the little red on the volume.
Is that why you hit my thigh? Yeah. I thought you were just happy to see me.
I give him the tap.
I thought you were just happy to see me over here. Nelson, I've already gotten the message asking what I'm doing. 12 and a half pounds down. I'm stoked. Ooh. Just keep crushing it. Keep showing up. So, Stephanie, scan and go calorie option. I really love the way Stephanie hits these. Jillian, don't tease me. I'll fly down for the next live.
Do it.
Bring it. Stephanie says, we all know. Do we? We all know that sometimes the calories on nutrition labels are not always on point with what the macros are. I wish we all knew that, being honest.
If you didn't know, now you know.
Now you know, because it happens quite a bit. And the reason for that are varied, because it's user-driven, manufacturers change formulas, life goes on, whatever. But like Stephanie says, therefore we make our own entries in MyFitnessPal. Being that after the initial few weeks of the program, we were more macro-focused. Next time I'm going to break this up, I promise. I'm reading, first read through here. Would it be safe to assume that we can utilize the scan and go as long as the calories are not off by a large margin?
That's one point.
I know this might be a personal preference as well, but I just wanted to ask. It depends. I also ask this, two-parter, because when making the personal food entries, unless you're taking the time to add all of the vitamins, minerals, and micronutrient information, you cannot get a full snapshot of your nutrition for the day. And this is important to Stephanie because people like her are low on certain ones like potassium or magnesium. So the answer is, it depends. How accurate do you want to be? How much of a gap of progress potentially do you want to leave on the table? For me, my rule of thumb is if I'm going to use something more than twice, I'm going to make my own entry. And the reason for that is simple. I know it's right. I don't have to worry about scanning it in and snagging a wrong one. It may look exactly the same as the chicken breast I've used for the last 2 years. Come to find out it's been wrong, and that's why I've put on weight that I shouldn't have put on. So for me, scan and go is not a thing that I try to participate in too often. If I am going to scan and go, I'm going to confirm with that label. Because if I'm scanning it, I'm looking at the label, right? Like it's in front of me. If that doesn't jive, it's not an accurate entry. If it's off by a calorie, is that going to make or break you? Probably not, right? But why is it off by a calorie? Does it even have protein, fat, and carbs? If it's off by a couple calories, and now you're particularly worried about micronutrient information, do you trust the micros as being accurate? And if it's something that you have a medically diagnosed issue with, like potassium or magnesium, do you want to leave it to chance? You do you, right? But if it were me, and let's say my riboflavin was way too low, then I'm going to put the important information in every time I make an entry. And I will take that extra time because it's important to me, because it directly impacts me, because my progress, my health, my life potentially could be impacted by these decisions. And baby, I'm worth it. I'm worth all that effort. I'll put all that effort into it. You see this? I'm worth it.
Welcome to my life.
Worth it.
It's and Jonathan
are
said,
you?
Listen, Jonathan said if we scan something more than twice, if we're going to use it more than twice, we'll create an entry if the scanning is wrong, or we just won't scan it. I don't tend to scan things. I'd rather search for the entry that matches because a lot of times they're off. You'll scan. I've scanned a package of flour tortillas and it came up with some ridiculous vegetable I'd never heard of. So, yeah, scanning gets a little funny. The other time I'd use it is if you're scanning everything. If you are on the road, on the go, and you're scanning packages all day long and they're different things and you travel a lot like that, no, I would not use the scan and go option, or I would make damn sure that they match up, because that can add up to a lot of discrepancies over the course of a week.
And guys, I'll be honest with you, it only takes one missing entry to derail progress pretty significantly if it's not caught soon enough. We've seen it happen before. Hey, what's wrong with your food entry? Oh, I literally was using the wrong chicken breast. You know, it didn't have any fat, or I was using a steak that was fat-free, or I found a calorie, you know, a carbohydrate-free cupcake. The calories matched, but it didn't count carbs, so the person playing the quad zero game ate 20, 30, 40 more carbs than they should have. These are things that, you know, we're not your parental unit. We can't tell you what to do. We're not going to say you have to do anything. You're an adult. But in this case, I care less about the calories being off by 5 than I do you trying to track micronutrients for a specific medical issue. To me, that's worth every bit of effort it takes to track those and log those micronutrients yourself. But you have to make that call, right? You know the significance here. You know the amount of deviation you're getting, and you know the amount of scan and go you're doing versus using your entries that you trust. And that's totally up to you. I'm always going to say if you aim for the moon, then you'll settle in the stars. But the second you start lowering that bar for yourself, you find yourself underperforming and lowering and underperforming and lowering. And eventually, what are you doing? Are you even scanning anymore? Are you just guessing? I think I ate 2,700 calories yesterday. You know, it's a big step to that right, but you can see it's a slippery slope and we don't want you sliding down it. So if this is a physician-mandated deficiency that you need to keep in charge of, I highly suggest you track it to the best of your ability. If it's funsies, you know, if it's once every so often and you want to let it ride, just YOLO it and understand that it could set you back. It may not. It may. We don't know, right? Depends on the entry.
That is a good side note. For everybody in here, when we talk about micronutrient deficiencies, this is something diagnosed by your doctor. They do blood work. They tell you that you are deficient in a particular vitamin or mineral and you need more of something. That's their job. So just because you go in and you look at MyFitnessPal and it tells you that I haven't had enough riboflavin today per the FDA recommendations, like, this is not what we're talking about. I wouldn't worry about it. If you don't have deficiencies, you don't have symptoms, issues, your doctor hasn't diagnosed you with something, eat a variety of foods, get some veggies like an adult, and you're probably okay. But if you have a deficiency as diagnosed by blood work and a physician, that's where we're talking about actually entering the micronutrients in MyFitnessPal, paying attention to it.
You know, when it comes to an electrolyte imbalance, that typically presents with cardiac irregularities. But outside of that, you got your hair, skin not sloughing off.
Yeah,
still got your fingernails.
Yeah.
Your gums aren't bleeding when you say hello. You probably don't have a micronutrient deficiency that requires this level of care. That's another reason we suggest eating a wide variety of foods, including those evil processed kinds, because they're fortified with vitamins, so we don't have micronutrient deficiencies. It's the reason there's no scurvy anymore, guys, and it's Rice Krispies.
That's what I was going to bring up earlier, actually. People were afraid. So you remember people were really afraid of the fortified. It said fortified on things. Why? Because they put stuff in it. It's not. I can't. Guys, they fortified kids' cereals because it gives them extra vitamins and minerals.
And it's because, unfortunately, there's a massive wage gap. And access to organic, grass-fed, farm-to-table food just isn't accessible to everybody. So we utilize these fortifications to make sure that our populations can thrive, even ones that aren't necessarily in the 1%. So not everything is evil. Science has done some pretty great things. We probably shouldn't assume that everyone is trying to kill us that goes to school for 8 to 10 years to learn how to do these things. They're not all evil people. Becoming a doctor in something typically stems out of love, not necessarily massive financial gain, especially a researcher. So I think that's one thing too. Everybody has this like fucking Dr. Evil is sitting there in the lab, like, how can I kill a population? Guys, that's bad business. It's bad business to kill off the people that give you money. So, you know, let's always assume that maybe people aren't altruists. But, you know, man,
they're probably not.
It would take one whistleblower, just one, to blow the lid off of something as large as a global conspiracy. I have a feeling it would have occurred. Maybe I'm a hopeless optimist. I don't know. Nell says, I got the reunion weekend off. Oh, let us know, because we're about in air mattress territory right now. Give us a heads up.
We are in air mattress territory right now.
Yeah. Anna. Yeah, it is. It's a gap of progress. Whatever you're willing to leave on the table. I kind of talk about it often, man. To me, it's not ridiculous to want 100% possible progress. It can be a little bit ridiculous to expect it, because now we're bordering on perfect, right? But I like to tell people, it's like your paycheck. How many hours do you want on that paycheck? I bet it's every single one you worked, right? So how much potential progress are you willing to leave on the table? That's where you have to start finding your limits. And some people are like, man, I'm fine. I'll throw this day away, this week away, this month away. That's okay. You do you. We will always support you as long as you're truly accepting of the outcome of that decision. And that means not just in 5 minutes, you know, five hours later after gorging or whatever it may be. It means the next 5 weeks, the next 5 months it may take to undo the damage done. That's what we have to talk about when we talk about how much progress are we really willing to leave on the table. And that margin is a very personal thing. Not everybody has to, wants to, you know, or is motivated by as much as possible. And then there are people that you know, will look for every edge they can. But the people that are actually able to benefit from those additional edges are the ones that have shored up that foundation. They're the ones that are truly trying to leave nothing on the table. And that is a situation where some of this stuff would matter. I don't know what Karen's what? Hey now, and
I don't know either.
I must have said something that triggered her. So you'll have to let me know. When we start answering questions, we tend to let comments slide a little bit, because
let's play Find Jonathan's Trigger. We could be here all night.
I get worked up. Ah, Ian. He said Amy. Hey. Amy and him are here. That's awesome, man. Hello, Amy. Very nice to
officially meet you. Yeah.
Yes.
Sort of.
I'm glad you came in at just the right time, because I'm a little spicy today. I'm a little feisty. Stephanie says, it makes sense, and this is my favorite, the moon it is.
Yes,
guys,
I like it.
Any time we aim for the best we can possibly do, then we can settle for a little bit under it. You know, if I go in to take a test, and my goal that entire semester is to get 100 on that final, and I only get a 92, fantastic. But if my goal is to get a 70... and just pass, and I missed that mark by 1 point, I'm now an epic failure. And that's a small margin, 70 to 69. Whereas if I aim for 100, I've got 30 degrees of separation that I can relax on. How much do you want to redline it when it comes to your progress? And this doesn't mean give yourself a neuroses. It just means be willing to accept the outcome. Never once have I tracked a diet soda. There are calories in this can, even though it says zero. My very, very, very tiny, almost infinitesimally small knowledge of physics understands that matter is neither created nor destroyed, and that there is energy in that can that I am absorbing. Never once have I tracked it. If I was truly a perfectionist, well, of course I would. In fact, Kay showed us that in Egypt, they reduce the servings to a tinier amount, so they actually have to attribute calories to them. So you would count it over there because it's easy enough to count. I've never once done that. Full disclosure, guys, I'll keep it real with you guys. Am I leaving progress on the table? Absolutely. Am I okay with it? Do I sleep soundly at night knowing that's not a barrier to the level of progress I'm trying to achieve? I absolutely do. We all have to find that level. This is not about you doing what Ann does, what I do, what Mike Mills does, what Tom does, what Coach Steve does. It's about figuring out what's best for you. And best for you does not have to mean best for anyone else. It doesn't have to mean best on paper. It means how do we keep you showing up and getting just a little bit better every day. And if we can do that, you'll get further than you ever thought possible, and you'll have every bit of progress you've earned. And that's what it's all about. Mike Mills says, what's up? Tom Ruffner says, what if your blood work shows elevated levels? What does your physician say?
Ask your doctor. If you are elevated to the point that it needs to be a concern, they will address it and they will tell you how to correct it.
What does your physician say? Right? Now, the layman's answer is, if you have too much of something, take in less of it. But some things aren't always that easy. So if you have a diagnosis, I would ask the diagnosing physician because they may have very specific recommendations for you. Is it due to food? We don't know. Is it due to exposure to heavy metals and toxicity? We don't know. That's why we had hazmat physicals every year to find out, did we get exposed to heavy metals to a deleterious degree? So you have to find that out, and your physician, the guy running them labs, is going to know. Rice Krispies or oranges for the win. No scurvy. Arr.
No scurvy.
No scurvy, man. There's no reason for scurvy these days. We got Flintstone vitamins, man. We're set. Gummies.
Those are my gummies every day.
The gummies. Yeah. Tasha, you're good. We see your beautiful face.
Hey.
How are you doing, coach? Uh-oh. Murphy says, it's been a rough day. I decided to be here with the fam instead of eating my feelings right now. Well, Murphy, I'm happy you tuned in just in time. Because I got something for you. And since I know you're having a bad day, I'm going to turn Jonathan down a little bit. I'm going to be less me. I'm still going to be me, but I'm going to be less me now because I care about you.
I would say Murphy would prefer you extra spicy instead of turned down.
Murphy, let me know.
We'll see.
Do you want extra spicy? Because I can always ramp it up.
Which way do we need to go?
Or do you want a little bit of a softer, gentler? Anna Patterson says, this week I was making my own entry for food and the calories listed were 154 calories higher than the macros. Wow.
That's huge.
I've also seen it scan completely wrong and have been able to be much more accurate with making my own food entries. Yeah. You know, man, I'll tell you this. We ask a lot of members when they join the family, but it's because we've all been burnt by this. You guys weren't around when we all discovered the Lenny and Larry's fiasco, which made us all realize we had to check how many servings were in a package, right? Little did we know that one cookie could be two servings. And I know it now.
It's a whomping of calories.
Whomping. But several members of the team at the time got bamboozled by that one.
I got bit.
A pack of Pop-Tarts, if you guys aren't aware. One Pop-Tart is a serving,
it's
not
so
the pack.
It's so disappointing.
Not the pack, fam. Who wants to eat one Pop-Tart? Not this guy, I'll tell you that much. When I found that out, I don't think I've had a Pop-Tart ever since. It's not worth it. Juice is not worth the squeeze for me. Maybe we could crush one up, you know, on like a bagel or something.
Yeah.
Maybe we can crush a Pop-Tart up on our bagel. What is this world coming to, man, when you can walk around like this and make progress and you can put a Pop-Tart on your bagel? I love it.
Brown sugar, cinnamon for the win.
Let's make it happen. Oh, a zero-calorie cupcake? Hey, man.
There are entries that are zero calories.
We've all seen them. Now, I know Hodge Cupcakery would never do that. I know they would never do that.
No, she knows how they're made.
That's no moon. It's a space station. Hey, man, shoot for something up there. At least you'll end up out the atmosphere, which is much higher than most people aim for. Yeah, Tom, you're going to have to talk to the doc on that one, brother. I wish I could have an answer for you, but ain't no white coat here, man. You don't want me to do no doctoring. We're ditch doctors. Blood goes round and round, air goes in and out. If it ain't one of those two things, we're not fixing it, man. And checking on your hypokalemia or hyperkalemia, that's nothing we're doing. You got peak T waves? Sweet.
It's just
take that, doc.
That gets so, Tom, it gets so blurry and shady and, well, your potassium's high. Okay, well, is it because your magnesium's too low and that needs to come up? Does your potassium need to come down? Do you have calcium issues, which can also affect potassium? It's like there are so many things; it's out of control. So yeah, that's a physician.
It's like those 8 years of school they go to and that $200,000, $300,000, $400,000 of debt. It's not just for no reason. It's because they have to learn all of these things. They have to learn to look for signs. They have to learn to chain everything together. And we ain't learned that. We ain't learned that. I see a peak T wave and I laugh. I said, it's not a STEMI. Let's go. We can go slow or we can go fast. We're going to go slow. That's it. That's the limit of my medical knowledge. That's all the doctrine you want me to do. I'm going to assume this is Anna again. And if it's not, I apologize.
We have Kathy, too, who is Facebook user. Oh, man. So, might be. Yeah. We don't know.
If I get your name wrong, I just don't want to call you a Facebook user. Maybe I will. FBU, because I got mad. Someone got mad at me when I said FU says. I love that this program accepts that I can make the choices I can live with. I don't feel judged. Quite the opposite, which means the world to me. We're not here to judge you. We're here to help you facilitate all the change you want to make. And that varies from every member of the fam. And that's why every plan is different for every person. I know people get very miffed at me when they ask me, well, tell me about this program. And I say, I can't, because I know nothing about you. I cannot tell you what the program's going to look like for you. And they think I'm full of it. Not a single person in here has the same plan, follows a template, is ran by percentages, gets coached the same way. That's not how we do things. We're here to meet you where you are and share a journey with you to help you get to where you want to be. And if that was as simple as me saying, turn left, turn right, walk 100 yards, it wouldn't be your journey. It'd be mine. And I'm not going to put you through my journey. It's about helping you find your way. And I don't think you help anybody through judgment. And I think most people are willing to change when they feel supported and they feel free to do things their own way within constraints that will help them improve. And that's what we're here to do. One of my favorite explanations I use daily, too much is bad and too little is bad. It has to be the correct fit for you. Yeah. The way I've heard it referred and the way I've kind of formulated it is enough. Too much is not enough. Too little is not enough. Enough is enough. And there can be a margin for enough, but it's probably not off the charts, right? It's probably within a standard deviation from the mean for all my stats nerds out there. We're probably not in outlier territory. So yeah. Tasha wants to know what level of spicy do we need.
Yep.
The people want to know, Murph, how spicy do you want it? That was Anna, thank you.
Perfect.
Oh, man. Murphy says she's spicy, too. Murphy.
Add to it or turn it down.
You can't handle the truth. I want you to know that. You can't handle the truth. Kim says, if it is not in a resealable bag, it should be one serving per bag. There is actually like talk of legislating these things. And sodas, actually, the first thing I've noticed, if you go to Disney, and this is where I first noticed it at, and you buy a diet soda, it's the same, forgive me guys, 12 ounces, whatever it is, 16, 12, whatever it is. And then if you buy a full sugar soda, it is a smaller version. Same price. Same price, but it's a smaller version for that reason. I believe some legislation was passed about labeling and having more fair, honest labeling. And, you know, man, I don't disagree that it does seem disingenuous to pack that stuff in there. But if you charge me $4 for a Lenny and Larry's cookie and I get half the cookie, I'm going to be a little angry. So I think at the end of the day, sometimes you get what you want. And in this case, you get way less full sugar soda at Disney for $7.82 than you do a diet soda because people want to be taken care of. You know what I mean? And It's a slippery slope, you know? I think we can all be adults, but man, when we get caught by that stinger, Lenny and Larry's, boy, you get a little salty about it.
They got me.
Tommy. It's possible. And his physician would do a very, very accurate food diary recall where he asked Tom what he ate over the last week to figure that out, which is what's horrible about, one, most studies, and two, doctrine, is they just don't have the resources to be that on top of it. Tom, I do think you nailed it here. It's the Velcro New Balances. Tom says, I think the New Balance shoes are to blame. Guys, I apparently upset some members of the fam when I made a Velcro New Balance joke for my birthday. So I apologize for all the Velcro New Balance wearers out there. I'm sure I'll join you one day.
He will, as we get out of bed and things are creaking and cracking and he can't stand up straight.
Oh, man, I thought I got double Anna'd, but that was Kim Werner. Nice. How do I get it right? Kim, there's a link in the description of the live. It says click it. It's i.amfirst.in/showme. And if you click that, we should be able to see your bubble once you approve it. Sometimes it fades, you know, like some people, it's been lasting forever off one click. Some people have to do it every week. I haven't figured that magic math out yet. Kim Leitner explained it. Tom Sangiacomo shows up just in time for the Velcro shoe talk. He said, what's up, gang? Ian says, what's up, sauce boss?
Official nickname.
We call it the Goldilocks area in my classroom, Amy says, for enough, just the right level. Yep. I like it, man. You got to get that porridge at the right temp. All right, Murphy's ready for it. We're coming up on it soon. Right. Uh-oh. Tom said just had some blockage. That is not a first in Friday I want you celebrating, brother.
That's not good.
Karen, Lenny and Larry, I had to stop buying them because they made me so angry.
Dude, Karen? If for anybody who's not bought them, the original ones were one cookie. It was one. It was a cookie in a pack, but it was two servings in one cookie. Who doesn't eat the whole cookie when it's not resealable?
Karen was OG at that time. She was around when we all found this travesty of justice out.
I was so mad.
Ian says, I've never once had to redo the link. Man, I don't get it, dude. I don't get it. I don't understand. So some of us are the chosen ones, and some of us have the rough road. I don't know, man. It could be, do you switch devices? Are you always on one device? Because I think maybe it's device specific. I don't know. I don't know what Dr. J is good lording about, but man, I'm with it. So Murphy, Spicy Murph.
Spicy time.
Spicy Murph, let's do this. Murphy asks, are carbs and fat the same? And at first, the vein in my head started throbbing like the answer's in the question. It's in the question. Are these two things the same? They're two things, right? You know, I'm like, gah, you know. But then I said, hold on, man. There's something to this. There's something to this. This isn't Murphy asking the question. This is Murphy wanting to arm herself with some answers for people that are asking her the question. Because she goes, she explains to us, what I mean by that is, if you go over on fat but stay under on carbs, does it balance at the end? I get asked a lot why my fat goal is so much lower than my carb goal when, quotes, they are the same.
They're not.
I always answer with, I don't know, I just follow my coach's advice, which is a good one, but since it's come up quite a bit lately, I thought I would ask. First of all, Murphy, what I said to you in the comments was 100% true. Girl, I need you to pick some better friends, because never once have any of my friends come up and asked me, are carbs and fat the same? And two, up in my goals business and asking me why I'm handling things the way I'm handling things. There is a simple answer to this question. And it really is, it depends. Because we have to ask so many more questions to even come close to getting an accurate answer here. But again, this is a question being asked from someone who either has never or hasn't in a long time cracked open a basic biochemistry book. Because even just asking if fat and carbs are the same shows a flagrant lack of appreciation for the differences of macronutrients and why they're there. I mean, do they ask you, why not just eat all carbs and no protein? Well, no, that'd be silly. This is just as silly because there are different needs in the body, different biological processes that depend on having enough of these macronutrients. Now, if you go over a smidge on fat and you stay under a smidge on carbs, is the world going to end? Probably not. But who is the person in question that we're talking about? Yeah. How much is over and under? What life does the person lead? What goals do they have? What does their activity level look like? What phase of their process are they in? How tight are their numbers to physiological needs? And how long do they want to play this juggling game? As always, you do you, right? A calorie's a calorie. Yeah, until it's not. Until we get so willy-nilly with these things that we create holes in our game. You can try, wind it back to question one, and avoid all carbs. And you can really screw yourself up. Females especially respond very poorly to low and no carbohydrate diets for extended periods of time due to hormonal issues. But at the end of the day, the brain gets what the brain wants, and it will take whatever you have, protein and fat, break it down, and make sugar out of it. Neoglucogenesis, it's a great thing. It's the fallback mechanism for starvation when ketosis kicks in because we don't have enough food to live and the brain wants to stay on. Probably not something we want to put ourselves in outside of extreme medically necessary conditions, but hey, everybody knock themselves out. Go keto, it's fun. So, calorie-wise, let's talk about it at its most simple level. You have 2,000 calories a day, and you decide to eat nothing but sticks of butter. Fantastic. Versus somebody who eats like an adult and follows your coach's guidelines. You may weigh the same, because we've perfectly perfected your maintenance level of calories, and we don't go over, we don't go under, we don't get stressed out and fidget more and need more calories. We've got two perfect people, right? And they eat the same. One sticks of butter, and one's a moderate diet following their coach's guidelines. Those two individuals are gonna look, feel, and perform drastically different. Drastically different. Because person A got a bunch of fat. You can't make amino acids and protein from fat. Person B has the right amount of protein to thrive. So they're going to be able to not just build new lean tissue, but they're going to be able to replace the tissue they expend through daily life and living, much more if they're an athlete or doing endurance. Person B has all the fat covered, or A, great man, your fat's covered, awesome. I bet that blood work looks good too. Person B, the moderate person, has all the fat they need to have, one, healthy fat functioning hormonal profiles, fat soluble vitamins are going to get uptake correctly, all the other magical processes that need to fat to operate are going to work just great, and it's going to be awesome. Person A, again, they got nothing but fat, and the brain will, again, using its magical powers, make sugar from fat at a pretty high cost on the body to get what it needs, but that's it. So person A that's only eating fat and neglecting, ignoring carbohydrates is not gonna be able to perform like person B will, because they will not have free circulating blood glucose to activate anaerobic and aerobic metabolism as efficiently. Now, person A, if they're fat adapted, say they're an ultra marathoner, they may be able to perform at 70% of their VO2 max for a long time, but because they're fat adapted, but they're also gonna turn over a lot because they're doing high levels of endurance activity and they're not gonna have the protein to replace it. Whereas person B, having carbohydrates, is going to be able to engage in activity that most of us are going to find ourselves in, and I mean under ultra marathon levels of activity. That means if you're not running a 50K, you haven't even started. We are going to feel better, we are going to function better, we are going to perform better because we have the right amount of carbohydrates to, for us to perform our goals. Now, do we have safety measures and factors and wiggle room in here? It depends. It depends on how you're being coached and what your goals are. Chances are, if you have low to no wiggle room, you'll know it because you're a very, very high level athlete and you take your nutrition with such a tall glass of seriousness, the thought of deviating doesn't cross your mind. If that's not you, you probably do have some wiggle room in. But how much of it do you want to risk and why? And that's up to you to decide. So for anyone that says, well, they're just the same, there's no reason to carry on a conversation because they're not informed enough to offer you anything. If they're also willing to say that, do you think they're open and receptive to hearing your way of thinking? I don't know the person. So you're going to have to answer that question for yourself. But no, it's not a juggling sliding scale unless you're willing to leave that progress gap to be much bigger than it has to be. And that's up to you. I don't care. I love fat more than anything. I would eat nothing but fat all day, but I don't do it because it's probably not the best decision for me long term. So I have to go against what I want to do, and that's house an entire block of cheese every day so I can have some carbohydrates, which aren't actually my favorite.
Here's probably the biggest example of, are fat and carbs the same? Ask somebody who has had their gallbladder removed. Oof. If fat and carbs are the same. Because you dump a bunch of fat on somebody who's had their gallbladder removed, and you're going to make them very, very sick and potentially end up in the hospital. On the other side, ask a type 1 diabetic, are carbs and fat the same? And you load them up with carbohydrates, and their insulin can't keep up, and they're going to end up in the hospital, or they're going to die. No, they are not the same. Not even close.
Now, you tell me you went over a gram of fat and you down yourself 2.125 grams of carbs? Okay.
No biggie.
We got a margin of error. You're telling me that you wanted to go for a meal out and you decided you're going to balance protein and calories that day and you're willing to accept any potential net negatives that arise from it? That last part's important. That's why I emphasize it. No big deal, man. Do it. You know, you want the lobster mac and cheese and you want the Kona crusted ribeye from Capital Grill. Not that I missed that at all. Maybe throw a blue cheese wedge in there too. Not saying I had a 4,700 calorie meal.
We're gonna go to
Capital Grill, right? Ooh. You want to do that? YOLO, man. I'm all for it. But don't think for a second that it's okay and it's the same just because you did a little slidey rule math. It's not. And that's why we do things the way we do. Now, if we've been in this process long enough, we've moved through some steps and we know there's vacation plans, there's best case scenarios, there's worst case scenarios, and there is wiggle room we can use. But those are fallbacks. Yeah. They're much like ketosis. They're a fallback, break glass in case of emergency. We don't want to rely on them all the time. If you find yourself having extreme issues with this, I would suggest reaching out and finding out if there is some wiggle room that maybe you're not aware of that we can make things a little bit easier on. So, Murph, I hope that helps.
Murphy, don't reach out to me. I'm not giving you 50 grams more fat.
You done, son. You heard it from the boss. Tasha, we're not about fat now, but we're about big fat meanie heads.
Ruined it.
Tasha says, I haven't had a Lenny and Larry since then either, lying jerks. I spend my money somewhere else, like on Gideon's Bakehouse cookies. Amy says, Murphy, you holler, I'll come gnaw their kneecaps off for you. Yeah, man, get some better friends. Ian says, I'm on my MacBook or my iPhone. I've clicked the links on both, not an issue on either.
Cool.
Man, you know, I take courses and I do classes with people that run this software too, and I've never had to re-click a link either. So I don't know, man. Some people just whatever.
You're a winner.
Tom Ruffer says, second week of fit. Thank you to Ann, Adam, and I guess you too, Jonathan. It's awesome. Wow, bro.
The workouts do get posted under Jonathan's name.
I don't know who all involved, but it's great, so I thought I'd share. You know, it's a family affair, my friend. Ann and Adam are what I like to call the brainchilds behind the operation, and I'm the pretty face, man. You know what I do. You know what I do. But yeah, man, we're so glad having you and the better half in there, man. You guys are thriving on it. I've actually heard some positive feedbacks from your coach that it's going well, man, so I'm really happy for you. I'm so glad you joined up in there with us, man. I think fully involved training is just so damn awesome, man, and I love having you guys in there. And if you're new and you don't know what fully involved training is, I promise we'll tell you about it in a couple weeks when we open it up, because it's our sister company. It's our training program. Coach Adam and Coach Ann do one-on-one coaching. They've been doing it for a long time. And we decided to open it up and offer group programming for members of the family and pretty soon their friends and family. Man, it's just awesome. It's just awesome training in a family environment. And, you know, we got my man Tom in there crushing workouts, getting started. And I'm really excited to see that. So thank you, brother. Thank you for that, man. I'm so glad you're with us. And I do things, okay? You don't even know. Ian said, pardon his hashtag. I've seen you use it, buddy. No worries about it. Anna says, I love the house comparison. Each macronutrient is a different building block, blocks versus wood versus metal. We all want to build a different house, ranch versus mansion versus cottage, so everyone needs different amounts of building blocks. In the words of this one smart dude, Jonathan, it depends. You know, and I love that one too, and I've used parts of a car, and I've used all kinds of stuff before because they're so different. It's like tires, a steering wheel, and bucket seats, they are all parts of a car. And you're going to have a very bad time driving without tires, seats, or a steering wheel. Is it possible? Yeah. Give it hell. Be careful. And that's my main thing is you know, man, a house, you know, without doors ain't gonna be very safe. Yeah. You know?
And this is a car with, you know, you were talking about different building blocks to a house. There's different parts on a car. Who wants bucket seats? I don't know. Maybe you want leather seats. Maybe you want a bench. There's different parts and pieces for everybody. I don't know. I used to love, my mom had the roll down windows, and I love them in her old car. They don't make them anymore.
And Anna's still letting us know it's her. Anna, we got you linked now. You did it. You're awesome. Be still my nerdy little heart. I love you guys. We love you too, man. Kim says, Murphy, let's hang out on the front porch together, girl, because your friends seem close to the gals I live by on this base, and we both need better. Pick better friends. Oh, Murphy says, what about the extra 4 grams Jonathan gave me in Disney for buying the Diet Cokes? Can I get those?
That's true. Are you willing to give up the carbs?
You can always have them, as far as I'm concerned. Your coach is the one calling the shots, and she's the one that's led to that pretty fantastic progress you're making. So my suggestion to you, Murphy, is after you and Kim Leitner go on this date that you're planning, is that you do what's working for you. And that does not mean be a robot. That does not mean whatever. But that means, I think your answer of, you know, I don't know, I just follow what my coach tells me, is a perfect answer for anyone you don't care enough to explain the rest of it to, or you don't think is open enough to hearing an alternative. A lot of times when you come into a conversation just looking to talk, you've already given up the ability to listen. And if you're not willing to be wrong, then it's not a conversation. It's just you wanting to speak. And I think that happens more often than not in circumstances like this. Because if anybody's seen your progress, if anybody's seen the changes you've made, why the hell wouldn't they ask you what you're doing instead of trying to talk you out of doing it? And here, Murphy goes, nope, if I knew what the hell I was doing, I wouldn't have joined the family 50 pounds overweight. Anybody that can come to somebody who has lost 50 pounds and go, well, why do you do it this way? There's something wrong with them. That person should be doing nothing but like, damn, that's amazing, provided you're happy, healthy, and thriving. Now, someone sees you go on a crash diet, you're showing signs of an ED, that's eating disorder for anybody else in the family that thought it was another one. Anybody that does that, you know, if you're not showing signs of that, if you're healthy, if you're happy, if you're thriving and people want to talk smack to you, man, that's probably not somebody that deserves a lofty place in your circle.
Bye.
You know, we only have so much time and so many resources to give to people. And we don't want the damn energy vampire sucking the lives out of us. And to me, that sounds like that's the kind of line of questioning you're getting from here. And man, I don't like that for you, fam. I want better than that for you. So we're going to move on along from our fat and carbs the same. And we're going to move into another question. It was a theme today, guys, and I don't know.
A lot of sciencey.
Yeah, there was a theme today, guys, and I don't know if you just wanted me to drop the link to my favorite textbook that no one's ever read or what, but there's a lot of it today, so we're going to dive in with one more of the food-related stuff.
And I feel like this one's going to have a typo. Nope, maybe not.
A typo?
Let's click it and find out. No, you're fine.
Uh-oh. Murphy says, I don't have a circle. It's a damn line. Too small to make a circle. Hey, man, keep it tight. Keep it tight. I'll take that over you know, a big, giant, you know, amalgamous, amorphous blob. So Kelly Mulder wants to know our thoughts on artificial sweeteners.
We love them.
Done. Let's go ahead and move on.
I'm done.
I mean, you would jump the gun on me like that, girl. That's fine. I guess when I told you you're the boss, you took it to heart, huh?
I'm kidding. Moving on.
Kelly asks, I'm curious about your thoughts on artificial sweeteners. Years ago, I looked into it, and from what I remember, they impacted your brain and increased your risk of dementia and stroke.
That's a big statement.
So I've mostly tried to avoid them since then. Do you think all of them are created equally? Mind's blowing. Do you personally use some and not others? If so, which ones do you use? A lot to unpack here. Let me get a sip of my Diet Dr. Pepper Cherry Zero Sugar.
I don't know which one is
featuring aspartame, acetosulfate, potassium.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Stand by. Consuming the artificial sweeteners.
That's some good artificial sweeteners right there. Real good artificial sweeteners. So, if you're curious about our thoughts, Anna has told you them. We love them. We love them. We use them a lot. But there's a reason for that. A couple reasons, actually. But the primary reason is we got to talk about when you looked into it. And this is something that's near and dear to my heart because, as I've said before and I'll say it again, I'm not a researcher. I have never once in my life conducted research because research is actually a thing. It's a very rigorous procedure governed by the scientific method, and it's subject, if it's worth its weight in the paper it's printed on or the digital zeros and ones that are on, you know, the journal it's published in, it's subject to peer review. And there are so many disclosures and just rigorous procedures that have to be done to formulate this that I think that word gets used so much. And you didn't use it, and it makes me very happy because I think most of us, myself included in the past, have been guilty of saying, I researched it. I'm researching a TV for Black Friday. Yeah, you're not doing research. Research, contrary to the internet, doesn't take place scrolling Facebook on the toilet. It takes place in a lab. It takes place wearing those white coats. It takes place in academia. And unless we want to discount every invention going back to the advent of fire and the wheel and the arch and, you know, Euclidean geometry, unless you want to discount the entire body of everything we know, the cotton gin and the mill and the loom and unless we want to discount it all, we have to accept that people who have dedicated their lives to doing research love science so much that they respect it above all else and will not, as the whole of the entire scientific community, violate it in unison just to say, ha! Ooh,
sorry, I kicked the table.
Just to dupe us.
Got excited.
Into doing harmful things for funsies, okay? If you want the science on any specific artificial sweetener, it's readily available. It's been beaten to dang near to death when it comes to the safety in populations of people who do not have specific sensitivities or allergies. But when you're looking for this information, you need to make sure you're not only just reviewing peer-reviewed literature, but you're looking at a meta-analysis of the entire body of work. Because it's very easy to cherry-pick a study. People do it with aspartame all the time, and the results from the two studies they use have never been able to be reproduced hundreds of times of attempting them. Because that's the thing about science. You don't want to be right. You don't want to be wrong. You just want to learn. You have to go into science without an opinion. That's what science is. It is literally the love for finding out just how wrong you are, just how little you know. You can't be in science. You can't be in the field. You can't be a scientist and have an opinion. You can have an hypothesis based on other bodies of evidence, but you can't be emotionally charged or connected to it. That's why I can't be a scientist, right? So the science is out there, but you have to be searching for science. You're not going to necessarily find that on a blog or on your friend's wall or in Men's Health or anything like that. You're going to find it on PubMed. You're going to find it with a university account that's required to log in to access these journals. You're going to have to pay a subscription for it because it's not given out for free unless you're in the sciences. Because that's who needs to read these things because they can interpret it. They know that a nutritional study done with a FFQ, a food frequency questionnaire, is bullshit. Because you're asking somebody what they ate last year. Who's ever lied to somebody about what you ate? Did you eat that whole cake? No, man, I ate that whole cake. Of course not. People lie. Science doesn't, right? So we need to make sure that we're actually looking at science when we make these opinions. Does anybody remember DDT? Does anybody remember asbestos? Does anybody remember insert chemical here that was thought to have a benefit that was found out to be harmful that got yanked off a shelf? Science isn't always right. They get it wrong, but it's the best we have. And it takes years for science to catch up because it has to be conducted in a certain way. I've said since the beginning of this pandemic, a decade from now, we'll know exactly what happened. But until then, we're guessing. That's science. A decade from now, what we know about nutrition, and again, no is the wrong answer, the collection of evidence we have points to findings will be completely different than it was right now. Raise your hand if in the 80s you thought fat was bad, and in the 90s you heard carbs are evil. I can't wait for people to say protein's terrible. In fact, it's already happening. People are talking about how a high-protein diet can affect this and that. I could find someone that said it causes strokes and brain damage.
I'm sure.
You know? The thing is, man, it's very easy to find something that fits your agenda. Go look for it. What you seek, you tend to see. If you want to hear how bad artificial sweeteners are, I'm sure you can find it. You can go and see what Gwyneth Paltrow thinks on Goop about just about anything. And I promise you, it's probably not what you want to take to heart, especially not those rocks you put in places, because that's just weird, man. So, the science is out there. Aspartame is one of the most heavily studied artificial sweeteners there is. The amount required to get to 1/100th of the dose that is known to cause side effects is fairly ridiculous. There is a scientific term for it, like LD50 is the lethal dose they have to inject into a mice that kills 50% of the population, so they base things on the LD50. They use a 1/100th safety factor when they assign a tolerable daily limit. I think it is a tolerable daily limit. Yeah. Again, I'm not a scientist here. I'm not a researcher. A lot of this gobbledygook and jargon goes in one ear and out the other because I don't love it. I don't fantasize about it. I don't live it. It's stuff that I have taken in to form an opinion based on known information, and I allow the people that do love it that nerd out full tilt, I let them do it and I listen to what they have to say. But the amount to come close to 1/100th of the dose to cause side effects is fairly ridiculous for someone to consume. It's something along the lines of 16 to 24 cans, depending on the size of the individual, to get 1/100th of the dose of aspartame that's been known to cause side effects, not death, headache.
So multiply that by 100 and you might get a side effect. Who's drinking 160 to 240 sodas a day?
I would be willing to bet to you would suffer from hydrotoxicity, which is water poisoning, before you would get to the dose where aspartame is going to start, kicking that butt. And that's a day, fam. That's a day. Now, are there people out there crushing a suitcase, a 24-pack of diet soda every day? Yeah, they probably have some other issues too. I don't think diet soda is going to be the biggest limiting factor to their progress or success or their thriving. But let's not make it a challenge, right? So, you ask about, do I think all of them are created equally? No, I know for a fact they're not created equally. They have different chemical names, which if you break those chemical names down, that tells you their chemical structure, which tells you that they're done differently. They are not all created equally. They are processed differently in the body. They are absorbed differently by different gut biomes. They have different caloric contents and values. They're all different. Some people can be sensitive to some and not sensitive to others. Some people like the taste of one. They hate the taste of the other. It's a cilantro effect. Some people can think stevia tastes terrible, but they think aspartame's just fine. They like the pink stuff, but not the blue stuff. So it's all individual. But no, they're not created equally, and they can have a different impact on you. Do I personally use some and not others? No. If it's in the thing and I like the food, it's all for me. If so, which ones do you use? We use the yellow stuff, man.
We use sucralose. Yeah. We use Splenda more than anything.
Yeah, we use Splenda more than anything because we can buy the big giant bags of it. It's usually cheap at Sam's Club. So my thing is this. For me, when it comes to artificial sweeteners, there's a really, really simple test when it comes to these things. One, do you enjoy them? Some people say that diet soda has a really bad aftertaste. Yeah. If you could hear that sigh of satisfaction and the little tinge of regret as I finish that last sip of Diet Dr. Pepper, I'm not that one. So do you enjoy them? Two, do you feel good consuming them? I don't know. Do you? That's up to you. Some people get headaches. They can't take a lot of protein powders. They have to go to True Nutrition to get stuff that isn't artificially sweetened. Some people can tolerate some sweeteners but can't tolerate others. That's up to you. But if you can answer yes to both of those questions, then I say enjoy artificial sweeteners to your heart content. But if you answer no to either one of them, it sounds like you just want to pass no matter what the science says. Because all the peer-reviewed literature in the world doesn't matter if you feel like crap when you consume it. That could be a sensitivity. It could be psychosomatic. It could be something science doesn't have an answer for yet.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. If you don't feel good, if you don't like it, don't use it. And that's where I'm at. Why do a lot of people in the fam use it? Because we're thrifty with our calories.
Because I want to eat.
We want to spend our budget in places that it matters most to us. And there are some members of the fam that a whole sugar, full sugar Coke is worth it to them. That ain't me. I don't drink calories.
No,
Crystal Light is in this half gallon of water. And you saw me or heard me, if you're on Finn Live and getting the audio of this and didn't get to see that majestic cock back of the can mimicking the science guy in the GIF. Hit the Dr. Pepper. I don't like to eat. I don't like to drink my calories. I like to eat them.
Proof of that, today we went and got tacos because we were down at Jonathan's chiropractic appointment. We go to a taco place there. Normally we get diet soda, so I pay for a couple sodas. We go sit down. There's no diet soda. There's no diet anything. And I was like, uh-oh. So they have the regular, like some of the Jurea drinks. They have, the fruit drinks. And we start looking at them, like 46 grams of carbs in this bottle. Listen, I'm not giving up 46 grams of carbs in my day. He's not giving it up, and he's a big dude with a lot of food, so I'd rather eat my carbs.
I had a moment of win in Romeism, right? win in Rome, do what the Romans do, win in the Mexican taco stand, do what the proprietors drink, you know, the crazy orange soda or whatever, until I looked over my shoulder and saw the back of it. It said 300 calories in that glass bottle. No, thank you. Are you kidding me? I looked around the room and saw everybody just housing them back. No, thank you. Sparkly, bubbly water it is for me. So those are my thoughts on artificial sweeteners. So I hope that helps. And again, much like question one, you want to try to avoid everything with the O's at the end of it? Have fun, because that banana, them blueberries, them scrawlberries, they all have fructose in them. So we got an O's, right? You want to avoid artificial sweeteners? That doesn't bother me one bit. There's nothing wrong with eating however makes you happy. We just want you to follow your goals. I eat whole foods all the time. I eat processed foods all the time. I eat all the foods that I enjoy all the times that I can.
It's a big old balance.
I can eat anything, just can't eat everything. And that's the key. You do you. Don't yuck my yum. I won't come for yours. But if you ask me my thoughts, my feelings, and what the amount of literature I've read say, I'll shoot it to you straight as I can, and I'll let you do with that what you will, because we're all adults here. Ian says, I have a cup of stevia and monk fruit powders that I throw on my food. It's the best. I also snort aspartame before I run.
Hey, you do what works for you.
I mean, buddy, I've seen your times. If that's the secret, I may have to pick you up on it. Anna, Diet Coke, check. Protein cereal with monk fruit, check. Zero calorie sugar on my cottage cheese. Ooh, that sounds good. Check.
That sounds good.
That's me and you do you, boo. I'm right there with you, man. That cottage cheese, man, that dessert cottage cheese sounds really good. We haven't had cottage cheese in a while.
No, normally he likes tomatoes and black pepper on his, but tonight is date night, guys. Listen, Jonathan always gets salty popcorn, right?
He always
likes, like, the nacho cheddar, always. The white cheddar, always. He asked me for my dessert popcorn tonight.
Dessert popcorn tonight. I want it. I'm feeling it. And we make that dessert popcorn with what?
Splenda.
Ah.
Sucralose.
The O's. Get the O's with the most.
And cinnamon. You know, whatever.
Yeah, Anna. Yeah. Anna, please tell them what research is. Please tell them what research is. Yes. And Anna mentions this. The Food and Drug Administration does have to improve if it's a food or a drug, which is where, unfortunately, supplements can find some gray areas, which is why you can be popped for stuff banned by WADA and stuff like that, depending on supplements you take. So you want to be careful with that,
which
too.
Which is a whole nother issue.
Anna was just play-by-play. I wish I would have seen this. It didn't notify. But Anna did say she is canceling her subscription for Men's Health.
Dude, the crap that comes out of some of these magazines.
Listen, man, if you got the issue with Mark Wahlberg on the cover where you got to see my naked torso, my headless torso, you got all the Men's Health you need. Trust me. That's all anybody needs. In fact, if anybody wants a life-size poster of that, let me know. I've got one in the garage. I'm not using it. Anna said again, growing up in Russia, I was told eating too much meat made you mean and aggressive. Perfect excuse for my bitch switch.
Jonathan's eating too much meat. Oh my God, we solved it.
Cracking herself up over here, fam. We're going to be a solo show next week. I got a feeling. I don't take this abuse.
Jonathan can't handle nothing by himself.
Jessica said the same for us Argentinians. And guys, let's talk about this for a second, because Anna actually prefaced this before I said come in full circle back her protein. It's coming full circle. Can we think about when you guys grew up and this is pure speculation, call me out if I'm wrong, but if there would be a reason to push some kind of agenda like that in Russia and in Argentina, maybe, Argentina. Not Argentina. Argentina. I promise. I've looked at a map before, but I'm no geographer and I'm no cartographer. I don't research maps either.
This is what happens when Jonathan doesn't eat for like 7 hours.
We skipped a snack today, so I am starving.
Hypoglycemic.
But would there be any reason there would be an agenda being pushed like that? And I have no idea what the meat production capabilities were of Russia or Argentina during that category. I have heard that cattle in certain Central American, South American countries, they have to import a lot more, and I'm not sure what the entire, you know, climate was in Russia at that time, but these are things that make me think, like, it's very easy, like, if we look at, you know, World War II and the you can do it and eat less and this so we can feed the war effort and stuff, there are a lot of times when sometimes, when you're dealing with populations, hey man, meat's bad because we don't have a lot, isn't necessarily, you know, a stretch to imagine that different regimes may push. So that's just an interesting side note that has nothing to do with anything, and I could be completely wrong on that. But I just thought that was the interesting thing when you guys both mentioned that countries that aren't, that I almost want to say Argentina is known for beef, though.
They are.
You know, that's where you get the chimichurri on the stuffs. So man, I'm just thinking about going to Texas Day Brazil now, which is not Argentina either, but hey, doesn't matter. Murphy says carbonated water is like TV static in a can. I'll take my artificial sweeteners and Diet Coke all day long. Yeah, yeah, I used to say drinking a LaCroix was like somebody whispered raspberry in your ear as you drank it. You drink the seltzer water and they go, raspberry. And you go, I taste it. Like it's a psychosomatic thing.
You know, though, today
it was good.
It was worth it over 46 grams of carbs.
Oh, hell yeah. I'll just chew on the table before I do that. Jonathan, if you could put this to a rap and some music, that will be a workout jam. T.I., watch out. Don't humor me. I was telling Ann the other day I was a rapper.
He raps. Sort of.
Ian, is Amy still here with you?
Oh, my God. Amy, listen.
Is Amy still here with you? Is Amy still here with you, Louie, and with me? Because, man, dude, we should get all the episodes of The State, and that's what we should do at the reunion. Oh, we just have The State playing constantly. Bologna sandwich feet and Louie, you know?
We're going to put you guys in one townhouse, and the rest of us will go to the other one, because I'm not, no.
Anna, our dessert popcorn recipe is super simple.
Surprise, it's super stupid simple. We use butter Pam spray because I like the flavor. Butter Pam, after you pop it, spray it on. We use Splenda and cinnamon, and I always put something salty in there too. So we keep either white cheddar or nacho cheddar popcorn seasoning. So I'll sprinkle like a little nacho cheddar and a little cinnamon, spray it, a little Splenda, spray it, and shake it up, and I'll do that a few times.
That's a little pro tip, a little PT. Oh, Stephanie's just speaking my language. Ooh, cottage cheese with buttery cinnamon roll and chocolate donut.
So we heard Flavor God's doing 50% off right now.
Flavor God is 50% off right now. So if you guys need to stock up on some Flavor God.
Give me more stuff to buy.
Ian says, yes, Stephanie, Flavor God.
Yep.
Yes, it's Flavor God. It's 50% off this weekend, I think. May have been a last minute sale.
Ian, get on that code.
Ian, we need a Flavor God code, son. No, Karen, Anne is not on fire tonight. Anne is going to have to talk to HR after tonight.
Tell me who HR is.
I don't know. She's going to speak to the manager.
It's because, I'm not speaking
you
to
you can talk to the manager. That's right, you can talk to the manager. On. You can talk to the manager.
He tries that.
Get it to Flavor God website. Yes. Got to check it out. Oh, my God, John. See, man, I wish I had these comps.
We got to watch the comments.
So, apparently, I can set these things up to automatically come in and come out, but then I can't control them. So we're gonna have to test this next live.
There you go.
Okay, so Anna, thank you for making me think I'm not crazy. There is a historical reason and probably political. Meat is expensive and communist Russia had permanent temporary food shortages. Yeah. You know, we're not, listen, I'm not gonna speak on behalf of what you experienced, but we can talk from a macro level that if a population cannot thrive because food is not available, a population certainly is limited in their options. And I don't want to ever think that we live in a world where that's possible. We all know we live in a world where that happens. So that's what brought it up to me, like, we're not going to eat this because of this. Is that what the privileged were being told as well, you know? And so sometimes we have to think about that, man. You know, this is a total tangent here. I am all about do the work and win the prize. And I am all about that everything that happened to your life up until now was a circumstance. Everything that happens from that point till now is a choice and a decision. But what we can never do is trivialize or reduce the impact that some of these circumstances have on people, on populations, on countries, on cultures, on shifts, on knowledge. You know, you want to control the flow of information? Start censoring it. Start burning books. Start letting there only be one government-sanctioned scientific body, and now you're not able to have a conversation. You're not able to be wrong. You're only able to accept what someone tells you is right, and that's a very, very dangerous slippery slope that history has shown us time and time again that we often refuse to pay attention to. So there's my yeah. Karen said you're speaking Gary's language at Texas Day Brazil Talk. Man.
Dude, let's do it. We've been going to the one in Orlando.
Yeah, we go to the one in Orlando because my parents, they decided in their infinite wisdom a little bit before we decided in our infinite wisdom that we were going to move on opposite coasts.
Yeah.
So Orlando is like the closest place for us to meet. So we meet them at Texas about once every couple of months. And man, it's always a fun time. See? Uh-oh. See, I'm in trouble.
So, Jessica, we need to get some good Argentinian food then because we've only been introduced to Brazilian because of, well, jiu-jitsu. I'm not going to... Texas State Brazil's not really...
Jessica says, Argentina has amazing meat. Don't you dare compare Brazilian food. I will fight you. So, yeah. Side note to this, Anne's father was in Argentina with his buddy Henry, and they had a steak there, and they said it was horrible. So yeah. They went to the wrong spot. Trisha says, don't yuck my yum. I love my flavored seltzer.
So we drink bubbly, Trisha. I like the bubbly ones.
Bubbly has more flavor than LaCroix. Yeah, I like it. And when it's BOGO, we stock up on it.
Now you put a bubbly next to a Diet Coke, I'm probably not going to choose the seltzer water. But some people will, and that's cool.
Ian let his wife know. Okay. Ian says, I told Amy I might get in trouble. It happens. Anna says, in America, when Roosevelt had a heart attack, everyone freaked out and vilified cholesterol and fat and said to eat bread.
There you go.
Mr. Kellogg made this incredible little white flake cereal and carbs ruled, but the research did not support this. Food pyramid is garbage. And that has been proven time and time again that what you hear isn't always what's being said by those that are worth listening to. Sometimes the loudest voice in the room is the one you want to tune out so you can actually find the voice of reason. And yeah, man, we all went through some pretty terrible times in the 80s where we still deal with people that are very fat phobic because of growing up in that time. And now, a few short years later, you're dealing with people that think bacon-wrapped avocado, scotch, egg, deviled, fried, deep-fried stuff is health food. And the thing is like, guys, the truth always tends to lie somewhere in the middle. And those that are on the fringe tend to kind of be the extremists you want to avoid. And knee-jerk reactions are never really the best way to make decisions.
Yay, make the popcorn.
Anna says she it's has good. All those. And then Nancy just said, oh my goodness.
The pickle one
is amazing on popcorn.
I'm going to order them.
We don't have pickle?
I don't think so.
I have never seen
the pickle one on Flavor God, but I'm going to find it. Is it a Flavor God?
I don't know how we missed ordering that one, but that's okay. Monica says the Kellogg's also thought that enemas fixed everything.
Yeah, I'm out for that one.
Yeah. I mean, listen. I won't yuck your yum in that regard either. What you do in your areas, all you fam. I'm gonna stay out of that one too. But as for this guy, unless a very convincing physician has a strong reason for that, I'm a pass. I'm a pass on that one.
Ian's on it,
my man. Uh-oh, Murphy says, Monica Goff, wait, they don't. Hey, man, what you and Greg do in your spare time, fam, that's all you. I'm here for it.
Yeah.
Karen is here, and she wants the manager.
Oh, my God.
And then Karen's telling me, don't you know only Karens can speak to the manager? I got your back. And yes. Y'all are ganging up, man. Yep. This is a little too much. A little too much resistance for little old
my
me
girls.
Here.
They see what I look like.
I'm just a tiny little guy over here getting ganged up on by all you ladies. I just don't think it's fair. No meat makes him angry. So see, Ian has the opposite effect. Effect. Guys, I need to eat. Anna is cheering for the Kellogg's, saying enemas cure everything. I think that's what she's cheering for, not enemas themselves.
Well, that was the Argentina.
All right, man. We're going to cut this one early. I'm out. Kim Werner, who clicked the link, we're good. She says, I spray my popcorn with coconut oil and sprinkle sea salt. Damn, that sounds delicious. All greens and no meat makes Ian something else. He may need to talk to the Kellogg's if he does the other way. All meat and no greens.
Yeah.
What is that? What is that? That MGK song?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, I'm not gonna sing MGK to you guys right now. Anna says I like meat with my meat and maybe a vegetable here and there. My people.
We eat vegetables as a tax to get to the good food.
Anna says, spoiler alert, communism fell in that country. Thank you for giving us that history lesson.
That didn't work out.
Oh, Nancy. Nancy, I almost didn't know you were here, but now I do. I feel your impact. Nancy McGowan says, blowing water up my butt has nothing to do with fixing things, but you are not here to yuck my yum. Fam?
What?
You
we
do
made
you.
It through this entire live call and didn't cross the line.
You do you.
We crossed the line.
I'm just, Nancy says, or wait, what? I'm just waiting for heroin to make an appearance and we'll have literally done it all. We've tag teamed, Nancy. We've got it. We've got water up the butt and heroin. All the fat. That's why I have to listen to my coach. I love fat.
Man,
I'll eat a block of cheese.
I was talking to one of my girls the other day about eating more fat, eating more calories. And I said, hey, wouldn't it be nice if we were 10 inches taller and 50 pounds heavier and all lean muscle?
How about it?
We're just not.
Ian says he tried for a code, they ghosted him.
Oh,
man.
Oh, it's all right.
You know, we'll keep trying. We'll keep growing the fam, and eventually they'll never hear about us. That's okay. We'll keep trying. Christmas and birthdays only.
It's present.
There you go, man. There's no time like the present to get your presents, Murphy. That's just, y'all keep that to yourselves. That's okay. Ian Osborne says, I see what you did there.
Yes, okay, yep.
All right, guys. I'm sorry, Yeska says Ian Osborne.
He's hungry.
It's time for the free-for-all. We've been free-for-all for a little bit now between our history lessons, our enemas, and me trying to recite hip-hop lyrics. And then now Anna dropping her own. I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller.
Well, when I sang
I wish
that originally,
I had a girl with a phone. I'll call her.
It was not because I wanted to eat more food.
Right.
But it is now.
Right.
Yeah.
So, guys, if you have any questions for us that hopefully don't require me to say it depends or textbook, drop them in right here, and we'll get it out. And if not, well, you know what? That's okay, too. We will go eat dinner and snack and have a blast. So let us know. I do have something really cool for you guys. I'm not going to bust it out this week because y'all blinded me with science. But hopefully next week I'll be able to do it. And if that doesn't work out, then damn it, I'm just going to go live by myself in the group and mute every one of you so I can show you guys this thing. Because I think it's a really cool thing that I'm ready to roll out.
We'll get it up.
But on top of that, I really just wanted to say how awesome this week has been for First In and for us. The birthday extravaganza was incredible. It was amazing. Seeing not only so many people continue their journey, not only seeing so many people new get welcomed into the family, but seeing all of you guys literally just deal with an onslaught of welcomes and congratulations and meeting it with nothing but positivity in return. Guys, we know that wasn't easy. That was a very, very, very long period of time to be constantly bombarded with notifications and have to bring your A game and be smiley and congratulate people and share their journeys with them. And you guys were just incredible,
you
man.
You crushed it. All the way up to the last person, you were still saying welcome and congratulations.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it's just incredible the family that First In is, and the way you guys, whether they've been here since day one or whether it is their first day, You guys are on top of everybody, helping, showing support, and just being absolutely incredible. And man, you talk about like being just such an amazing thing for First In, but also selfishly and personally for us as well. Because there are a lot of times when our alarm goes off and we're going through a list and we're facing it down that it's like, you know, oh man, you know, everyone's going to get tired of it. We're going to annoy people. And you guys proved us wrong. You guys let us know on every single person just how important their success is to you. And how important this family is to you guys. So thank you for that, man. You definitely made a birthday one to remember and the best one we've ever had. And I'm already looking for 2022, man. I'm looking forward to it next year. So y'all start sleeping well, rest up, and get ready to keep congratulating people because I'm hoping it's even better next year. So Amy says, no questions, please, but smooch Ann's face. You got it, coach.
Surprised you didn't bite me.
I probably should have bit you because you went in. You just trusted me so well. I said, ha, I just gave you one. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, Karen. Go feed your man. Karen says, go feed your man. Love you both. Thank you for all you do. Thank you, Karen. Stephanie says, happy date night. Thank you so much. Jessica says, thanks for keeping company while I got some light cardio in as an effort not to commit murder today, peeps.
Jail time's not worth it.
We need you with us. Don't go to prison, fam. Anna says, thank you so much. Ian right here, man, this is what it's all about. Ian says, my wife is family now, incredible. She's already asked me so many great questions. I love it, man. Amy, if you ever get tired of hearing that guy talk, let us know. We'll help you out too, but he is such an amazing resource. He has a solid wealth of knowledge, but I don't coach my wife for a reason. She doesn't coach me directly. I do value her influence and her information more than she values mine, but that's just the nature of us. I'm a little bit more scientific in that regard and less emotional sometimes. But if you ever have a question, you have an entire family here for you that is not named Ian, and we will help you out. And Anna says, Jessica, you're my peeps. Training keeps me away from murder.
Yep.
There it is. Well, guys, I see no questions. I see a bunch of family members that want us to go enjoy our night together and our time together, and I can't thank you enough for that. Guys, again, thank you so much for being awesome. Thank you for hanging out with us on a Friday night. Thank you for everything each and every single one of you guys did for the birthday.
Yeah.
And man, I just, we love you guys, man. Thank you so much. So have a great night. Take care. Thank you for being First In. We'll talk to you guys soon, man. Have a good one.